Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome. Welcome, everybody, especially the moms. I honor you today. I believe in giving honor where honor is due, and being a mom, like my husband said, it's sometimes a thankless job. But I honor you as my peers, as my comrades in the army of mothers. May we be an encouragement to one another, not in competition with one another, but link arms with one another. Love each other, be the lifter of each other's hands when we need it, when we're too weak, when we're run down. That's what I pray for the women in this church, for even if you're not a mom. This is a house, and within this house, we are family, and family takes care of each other. And maybe you have children that are gone or never had children. There's, even at my age, we all need mom, right? We all need a mother's love, a mother's hug. I won't say how old I am, but even at my age, there's just something that a mother possesses that only she possesses, because that's the way God created us. And we can all be that for one another. So anyway, got my throat drop. Got my Kleenex, got my water. I've been struggling a bit this week, but I'm thankful for a family of God that ran out and made me some throat coat tea quick and gave me a little throat drop, and I just love that. It was like I had a bunch of mothers, even though Josh, like a brother, that ran and took care of me this morning. I really appreciate that. Thank you to my husband for allowing me this time up here. I don't take that lightly, that as I stand under his authority in this place, but I'm grateful, because I kind of had a message, and the Lord just turned it all around, which is kind of scary, because you don't feel as prepared. But I am believing that there's a reason for that, and I am believing that this message is for everyone in this place. If I refer to mom or mother, just men, it applies to you as well, and I hope you see that this morning. All right, so I don't know. How many of you have fears? I mean, pretty much everybody, right? And there's like different levels of fear. There's like fear of flying. Anybody afraid of flying? Did my son leave the room? Okay. Yeah, he probably knew I was going to say that. That's why. Or fear like when a softball's flying for your head. Like that's a different kind of, that's kind of like a fear. Fear of spiders. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, Olivia? Okay. Yeah, I know some people. She's not in here, and I'm not going to throw her under the bus, but I told her the next time you have a spider in your house and your husband's not home, just call me. They don't bother me. But if you have a bat, you need to be calling someone else. I have the laying on the kitchen floor under the table in fetal position, wetting my pants, fear of bats. That may or may not be a true story. Sorry, men, but it's a thing. I don't know if you've ever been so afraid that you have wet your pants. I mean, the body just kind of let go. So, yeah. So if there's anyone that, you know, likes to take care of bats, give me your name. Anyway, we all have, maybe you have a fear of speaking in front of people, right? Like, fears can range from, like, really things that don't really make sense, like to me, like spiders or crickets, to, you know, really serious things, and they affect us on many different levels, and sometimes they actually affect our physical body. But I am not here this morning to glorify fear, and I don't want you to either. I strongly believed that a spirit of fear has been released into this country years ago, especially through 9/11. I just sensed a shift. And you need to stop allowing fear to rule and reign in your life, because fear is not from God. And the opposite of fear, I mean, it's faith, but it's also courage and bravery. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because if there was ever a time, moms, that you need to be fearless, have no fear of man, have no fear of not being accepted, have no fear of the bullies out there, it's today. I have never known a time in my lifetime where we need to be more brave as believers. There's a quote that's going around, and it's from a ministry that calls specifically women together to pray for their families, for their children, and they say, "Lord, give me bravery to stand, bravery to not stay silent, bravery to not give in, and bravery to not bow down." And I just feel like the enemy is really keeping us distracted, distraught, discouraged, fearful, worried, weak, anxious. And maybe some of you in this room can relate to that. And please know that this isn't me, like, condemning you in any way. I just want to speak it out. I want to speak that out, because whatever your thoughts are, and this is no slant. I've heard this twice in the last week. This world is such an awful place, you wouldn't even want to bring kids into it. I don't agree. I think that's what the enemy would like. So let's get to the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of Exodus today. We don't need to bow to anything or anyone but Jesus. Just going to say that. Say it again for the people in the back. All right, Exodus chapter 1. Pretty easy to find, second book in the Bible. I'm just waiting for you to turn there. But yeah, the background going on here, just there was a king, a new king over Egypt, and he was threatened by the Israelites. He did not like them. He saw they were growing in number, and he didn't like that. In verse 9, it says, "And he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for me.'" May the enemy say that about us. And he became threatened. And in verse 11, it goes on to say, "Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens." Now, a taskmaster is an oppressor, someone who kind of beats you down. And as I was reading this, I was like, there is nothing new under the sun. We are under taskmasters today. We are being oppressed. And then they made slaves of the Israelites, right? They beat them down physically, these taskmasters over them. But they also then, besides causing physical suffering, they also caused spiritual suffering. And we're going to read on and see how that happened. So I'm not going to read it word for word, but what happened was he came up with this plan, Pharaoh did, that in order to hinder the Israelites from growing anymore, And you probably all know this story because it's the precursor to Moses being born, right? He went and he made an order, that a command, that the midwives who were the ones that helped everybody have a baby back then, told them, when a boy is born, I want you to kill him. Girls, you can let live, but boys, I want you to kill them. Again, nothing new under the sun. The enemy goes after the men, the males. I see it today. Yeah, thank you for that back there, whoever that was. To destroy the males. But if you look in verse 17, the midwives did not listen to Pharaoh. Why? It tells us, because they feared God. They feared God more than they feared the taskmaster. Now, I want you to try to imagine what it was like to live back then. I mean, you're in an oppressive society. I mean, you might feel it today. I do. There's evil all around. Sometimes you just feel like, what is going on? Everywhere you look. But fear God. He will never lead you astray. And the midwives did that. So I say, be courageous in the culture. You need to be courageous in the culture, moms. Don't let the enemy steal from your children. Don't let him destroy them with his lives. I'll tell you what, culture changes. God does not. Even the people that are trying to change the Bible, the progressives, to make it fit into culture, it's a lie. It's a lie. I'm speaking it out. It's a lie. There is one true north on a compass. It does not change. It doesn't matter what you do to that compass unless it's broken. But, you know, it's always going to point you to true north. You know what your compass is? It's the Word of God. That is your true north. It will not change. It doesn't matter what culture says. Culture changes. God does not. God is God. His word is true. His promises are true. But for some of us, the enemy has twisted it so that we start to doubt God. Well, maybe this, maybe that. Kind of reminds me of Eve, right? When the enemy came and made her doubt. Did God really say that? He's doing that to a lot of us today. Did God really say that? I mean, is that really love? Is that really loving someone? God's definition of love is not this world's definition of love. We also need courage in letting go. And we're going to continue on in the book of Exodus. It just kind of flows here. So this is the world that Moses was born into. We all, I mean, even if you have the smallest education in the Bible or knowledge of the Bible, we've all heard of Moses, right? I mean, he was an amazing leader. And he was born into this time when Pharaoh was saying, kill all the males. He was not killed. He was born to a woman named Jochebed. And she gave birth to this male child named Moses. And in verse 2 of chapter 2 now, we're in chapter 2. It says, the woman, it tells you her name later on in Exodus, but the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes. So she made this basket. In fact, they have little, they call them Moses baskets that you can buy when you have a little baby. So she hid him for 3 months, but after 3 months, she just couldn't hide him anymore. So she gets this basket that is woven together, and she places him in it, and she sets him afloat in the Nile River. I think that's really easy to read over and just go, oh, nice story. But put yourself in Mama's shoes. She has this baby that's 3 months old, and she puts him in a basket and sets him on the Nile where there were crocodiles and who knows what else, not knowing that she would ever see him again, not knowing what would happen with him or to him, because she was a woman of faith and I believe really courageous. What a courageous thing to do. She thought not of herself. She thought of her son and that was going to be the best thing for him. I always think of that basket as like a weaving together of prayers, a mother's prayers where we place our children. Some of us have a really hard time letting go. It doesn't matter how old your child is. There is a process of somewhat of letting go, of allowing God to fulfill his plan for your child. Some of us want to gather them up and protect them. And there is that in motherhood. But spiritually, we have to know that they're not ours, that God gifted them to us. And I thought, man, I think about moms who had to give children up for adoption. I thought of the prodigals, those who you raised in the faith but have decided to walk away from it. That is in of itself placing a child into a basket of prayers and just trusting that the Lord is going to fulfill his plan in their lives and that there's only so much we can do in the physical sense. And I think Jochebed was an amazing example of a courageous mother. I always go back to her story. There aren't a lot of stories of mothers in the Bible. There's a few, but not a lot. And she's one of my favorites. She took the protection and hid him for 3 months, but she knew the time to let go. She knew the way to let go. And thank goodness how God used him. How God strategically placed him in the home in the palace of Pharaoh. How God anointed him, even though, I love reading the story of Moses. You know, he argued with God, like, I don't know how to talk. Are you sure? I don't think I'm the man for the job. I don't think I can do, not exact words, but that thought. But God had the plan, and God had the purpose for Moses. And when Pharaoh came in and spiritually attacked those people, attacked them at their spirit, that said, I want you to kill those babies. Perhaps you feel that today. We get that edict, don't we? Kill those babies. Even though Pharaoh said that, those midwives feared God more. They didn't even care about what the people on the right and the left said. They were like, God, we serve you and we answer to you. We don't answer to man. But I'm sure it was a spiritual struggle. I'm sure spiritually they struggled. And the enemy comes in to cause you to spiritually struggle today. Do you fear God? You know, I probably don't need to say this. Fear doesn't mean being afraid of him. It means that you reverence him above the word of the culture. above the judgment of your family. That's a real personal thing. You have to work that out within yourself. That I care more what God in His Word tells me than I do even what my family tells me. Even than I do what my education is telling me. What this world is telling me. Courage looks a lot like dependence upon prayer. You know, there's something within us. If you're like me, I'm a fixer / controller. I confess it to you, Lord. So especially like with our children, and I find this especially with adult children. I'll just speak from personal situations here. That even when they're adults, you want to help them. You don't want to see them suffer. You don't want to see them struggle. But sometimes they're never going to mature in faith unless they do suffer and struggle. And it's not our place to rescue them. You know what it is? You know what our place is? You're going to guess what I'm going to say. It's to pray for them. There was a situation recently where I wanted to confront. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, no, no. If you stand in between me and that child, you're going to usurp my plan for their life. Do you trust me? And it does come down to an issue of trust. Do you trust me? If you trust me, pray. Pray. I'm going to ask you in this place, do you really believe that God hears your prayers? Do you? Because you know what? Your actions show whether you do or not. Because is your first impulse to step in and intervene and rescue and manipulate and hand money and, I don't know, whatever the situation is? Or is it, no, I'm going to get on my knees and I am going to pray for this child. And I am going to trust God. I am not going to live in fear. And I'm talking about passionate prayers, ladies. Can you pray passionate prayers for your children? Not, Lord, bless them, go with them, help them somehow. I mean, may God light a fire within you for passionate intercession for your children. That is what will make the difference in their lives. It is not your rules. Rules bind, and the tendency is to want to break free from that, right? And we're all flesh. We all have a human nature that kind of rebels against rules sometimes. Some of us more than others. I remember being a teenager. If you said sit, I would stand. If you said stand, I would sit, just to be that way, just to be contrary. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Jesus Revolution. So Kathy Laurie, who is, she's portrayed as a teenager in that movie, who was rebellious, and she had this quote, and I thought, this is just perfect. She said, when my mom stopped lecturing and began praying, that's when things started to change. And she has a whole testimony you can watch about that, because her mom was a believer and had a lot of rules. I believe she was Catholic, but believed, had a great faith. but had a lot of rules laid out. If you're a rule maker, a list writer, you might have to let go of some of that. That's for you, actually, not for your children. I don't think there's anything greater you can do for your kids and pray for them. Men, I'll say it to you too, because you are you're the spiritual covering of that home. But I think the enemy's got us all thinking prayer's boring, prayer doesn't do anything, maybe we've prayed and haven't seen an answer to prayer. Bless you, children. One of these days, I'm just waiting for that whole thing to just fall into the sanctuary. Bless them, Lord. Keep them safe in there. Colossians 1 tells us that God created the visible and the invisible. It means he created the world that you see, and he created the unseen world. And there is such a thing. For those of you that struggle with the thought of the demonic and the spiritual realm, it's very real, and God created both. Colossians tells us the seen and the unseen, the spiritual and the temporal. And I feel like we're so caught up in the temporal. We're so caught up in the things like planning birthday parties and getting ideas off Pinterest and the clean house and the vacations and all the things that affect this part of our kids' lives. And I'm not saying that stuff isn't important. My kids have great memories from vacations. It's great bonding time, but you can't rely on that like that's going to raise your kids. The unseen world, the spiritual world, that can only be changed by prayer, in the spirit. And those are the things that matter for eternity. I've said this before. We had a girl, and she liked to just do all kinds of wacky things with her hair. I think I've shared this before, and some of you are smiling because you know that it's Jessica. I'll just say it, because we all know. So let's just say it. But she'd like do the shave on the side and, oh gosh, how many different, in fact, for her wedding, I did a collage of all the different hair colors she had on like one of those programs. I think there were 12 boxes. 12, who knew there were that many different hair things you could do. But it kind of was weird for me or hard or whatever, but you know, I'm thinking it's just her creativity and doesn't matter for eternity. No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. None of that matters for eternity. But your prayers can change the things that do. Your prayers change things in the heavenlies, above your home, above your children, above yourself. The self-talk, the voice that says, oh, I don't want to bring kids into this world. It's a terrible place. The thoughts that go on in your mind where you worry about your kids. They like go and drive somewhere and you can't sleep until you know that they're back. And it's such a, I mean, hey, that was me. There's no judgment here, but more and more, I think the Lord is just pulling out of me this, like, the most important thing you can do is pray and then just go to sleep. I got him. God loves our kids more than we do. Joshua 1. I want to really encourage you. I do believe that there's people in this place today that you have allowed the enemy to beat you down. Perhaps it's what you're filling your spirit with. Sometimes when even watch too much news, I guess. Just that spirit that's attached to it. Only you can answer it for you. What makes you fearful? What makes you feel like you're the only one that can do the right thing for your kids? What makes you think that you can't allow other people to even teach your kids or hang out with your kids? Or what makes you feel like, what puts that fear in you that you're just constantly anxious? And maybe it's not even about your kids. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're struggling with things in your mind that are just like telling you lies, and you live in fear and anxiety, and you don't even know how to pray. You don't even want to pray. And I'm just going to say that's not God's plan for your life. That is not what God created you and how to live. And church, I'm just going to tell you, this world needs you to be an army today. We need to be on the front lines. Do you know when things really changed in this world is when they, in the 60s, when they took prayer out of school. You can just see the decline. I'm not trying to sound like some old fuddy-duddy, but it's true. You know what? They used to pray in school, Parker. Can you believe that? They used to actually say God's name in school. But somebody didn't stand up and speak when that happened. As much as the squeaky wheels can make the noise about the things that hurt them and offend them, sorry, we're called to be God's army and stand up for the truth of God in a loving way, yes. But I just feel like so many people have just shrunk back and they just allow the enemy to just walk all over them, walk all over their homes, allow things in their homes that have no place being there. And you know what? That's on you. You are responsible for that. That's not just Pastor Randy's job. That's not just your youth pastor's job. He can preach the word every Wednesday, but if they go home to a home that just allows every kind of garbage and watch anything and do anything and say anything and allow the enemy to just come waltzing right in, it's one thing to be oppressed. It's another thing to allow the oppressor to actually live in your house. I just so want this fire to burn in you that it's okay to stand up for righteousness. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to allow the fear of man to overwhelm your fear of God. I don't like being rejected. I hate it, actually. Strong word, but it's not fun. Who does? I remember losing a whole friend group when I became a Christian. Talk about rejection. And it's not just the world that does that. The church does it too. We're to link arms with one another and be an army. It is the day. I don't know what you're waiting for, teenagers. You're going to just allow the enemy to trounce all over your life as you're just making important life decisions. Recognize what's going on and arrest it. Arrest it, put it in handcuffs, whatever. Kick it out of your life. Your thoughts. It starts here, and then it eventually becomes behavior. And every person in this room, whether you're a mother or not, God has something for you to do. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? We're only accountable to Him. I won't get to heaven and be able to say, but my husband was a pastor, remember? Yeah. or depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. I feel like you just took everything in your own hands because you thought you had the better idea, because you just shrunk back in your ambivalence, in your fears. You gave more credit and more room for the devil in your life than you ever gave me. I don't want that. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for any of you. So yeah, I did say Joshua. I'm going to close with this. This is what I want to encourage you with. Let's start in verse 3, chapter 1. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So Moses had died. Joshua was now going to go into the leadership position, and God's talking to him. I mean, talk about big shoes to fill. I don't think I'd want to follow Moses, personally, but speech impediment and all, I would not. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success. Wherever you go, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is with you. You might say, in this evil world, what is our hope? Read Ephesians. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. He tells us how to stand against the evil of the day. Paul tells us in Ephesians, you put on the full armor of God. There are answers in this book if you will read it day and night, if you will stand on what it says. Don't look to the right or the left, for the Lord your God will go with you. He will go with you when you're struggling with a kid who is not living for the Lord. There is nothing you can do in your human capabilities, abilities, creativity to cause that child to turn. Your prayers. That's what that kid needs, is your prayers. When you have to walk into that AA meeting, the Lord goes before you. When you have to walk into that public school and be ridiculed for your faith, the Lord your God goes with you. Don't look to the right and the left. It doesn't matter what they're doing. That's not what God's called us to. When you have a child struggling with mental illness, God's got that. There is nothing too great for our God. I can tell you, he is the victor. It's already written. The story is already written. He is victorious. You don't have to worry how it ends. We know how it ends. We just have to make it through the struggle of living in this world. But he's told us how to do that. Because your battle isn't against your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your neighbor, your boss. The battle is in the heavenlies. The battle for your children's soul is in the heavenlies. And that is where you do battle. I declare it in this place that something rises up within you, that you gain courage. You be people of God. You be people of courage and bravery. And I just want to close this service, especially for women today. Felicia, do you want to play just something? I really feel, because I know that, not feel, I know that the Lord changed my message to this, and I believe that's for a reason. There are all kinds of reasons why we struggle with fear. But if you're in this place and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no reason you need to stay in it. There is no reason you need to be an anxious mama. There's no reason you have to hang on to a divorce, abuse, an addiction. You know my story. Where would I be but for the grace of God? Where would I be? I just talked to someone about this the other day. We all stand, but I specifically, if you're someone, and I should say even if you're a teenager or a man or anybody in this place, if you want to lay down your fear today, your fear of man, that you care more what man says and what God says, that you question your faith, that you have lies in your head that tell you you're no good, you're not worth it, that Jesus died for everybody but you, any of those lies from the devil, we're just going to take care of it at the altar today. Because I don't want to see one more suicide. And I don't want to see this world trouncing all over the army of God. So if there's anything in this message that you feel like God was just tugging at your heart, if you have a hard time mothering without fear or control, any of those things, can you just come to this sacred altar today? Because there's a God, a loving heavenly Father, who wants to deliver you from that. He wants you to walk in freedom. He wants you to be able to pray courageous, bold, passionate prayers and know that there is a God who listens and he's trustworthy and he goes before you and he wants to make you strong and courageous today. I declare that in this place, and I come against the lies of the enemy that are holding you back. I mean, it's called warfare for a reason. Are you ready to do warfare in this place today? Because I sure am.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.